tomorrow, an important day in Westport at Sherwood Island, 9 o'clock in the morning, the Out of the Darkness Community Walk. And joining us live on Newsline is Dr. Hilary Blumberg, a professor of psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine. Doctor, you have such a long resume or CV. Let me know if I've missed anything in terms of a title, but it is so great to have you here with us to talk about the walk and more.
Oh, Bridget, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's talk about the walk first and the Out of the Darkness Community Walk. Explain the name and why this walk is so important to have.
Sure. And I just want to take a moment to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about the walk and suicide prevention in general. As you and I were discussing before, Bridget, talking about suicide is one of the most important things we can do to prevent suicide. It can really save lives. And so that's kind of what the walk is all about. It's people coming together to talk, to be connected, and to support each other. The walk is by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. It's actually on Saturday, October the 26th.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had the date switched. I'm a week ahead, doctor. I don't know why. The 26th. I'll make sure to post that, on our podcast and whatnot. But you were saying...
Yes, well, I'm glad for your enthusiasm for the walk. It can't come soon enough, really. So, and it will be at Sherwood Island Park in Westport. Registration's at 9. The walk is at 10. And I'll be there. I'll be hosting an information table. I hope people will come to see me and stop by for a chat and information. And we've got plenty of Halloween candy to provide energy for walkers. And, it's hosted by the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention. This is a wonderful organization. I'm on their scientific advisory board. I've been attending walks for many years. And even if you're not walking, joining a particular group that's walking, I'd encourage you to come because you can learn about suicide prevention and how to help others. And even your presence there would be very meaningful support to those
right.
who have suffered.
Doctor, it's all about coming together and about being out in the open, literally and figuratively, when it comes to this important topic of suicide prevention.
Absolutely. And they have these special things that happen during these walks. So one is that it's one of the most moving things that I've ever experienced, really. They have beads of different colors, like Mardi Gras necklace beads. They call them honor beads. And each color represents your personal connection to someone you lost to suicide. So, for example, gold is loss of a parent, and white is loss of a child. And before the walk, there's a time when they call out the connection, and you can put the beads on and support people who are putting the beads on. Sometimes it can be hard to know how to support someone who's lost someone to suicide, and this can be very moving and supportive.
Yeah, it certainly is a tricky thing and a tough thing to talk about with someone who's lost someone. Let's talk a little bit, and again, Sherwood Island, the Out of the Darkness Community Walk, October 26th. So in other words, a week from Saturday. Doctor, I know you do such important work up at Yale on to try to distill it on understanding the brain, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I think that does distill it well. We try to understand what's different about the brain when someone has a mood disorder like depression or bipolar disorder, and in particular, what's different about the brain when someone is thinking about suicide or someone moves to trying to take their life. And we do this in many ways, and we're doing work at Yale, and many people around the world are doing this work. And I think there's great momentum, so I think things are hopeful. One thing that I might want to highlight from the work is it actually can inform people about that are listening about what they could do for themselves or people they're trying to help support who might be having suicidal thoughts, help themselves. And that is to basically help to like regularize their daily rhythms. What I mean is, even if they try and just move the needle a little in trying to get up and go to sleep at a similar time or have meals at a similar time or be physically active at a similar time, that can really help the health of the brain and can improve depression and can reduce suicide risk. And we have a study for that at Yale. You could go to our website, mood.yale.edu. But these are things that people can do for themselves to reduce risk.
Yeah, Doctor, let's talk a little bit more about that. Is this part of the Be Smart initiative at Yale, Strategies for Brain Health?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Let me start here. Why is sleep and being in a good routine so important? Is it that it truly affects our moods?
Yes, absolutely. And what we find, so Be Smart, it's an acronym, but the first letters of it are for Brain Emotion Circuitry Targeted. And basically, there's been a lot of work on what parts of the brain are involved in suicide and depression. There are parts of the brain that help with emotion regulation. And what we find is that they can really be responsive to having more regular sleep times. Kind of an example of it is, you know, some people may have experienced how if they have jet lag, that they may feel really kind of awful, may feel more irritable. But actually, that's a change in the brain, and over a week or two, they can start to feel better as they start to get their sleep back on track and the brain's adjusting. And that's something that people can do to help their brain and reduce their symptoms by regularizing those patterns.
We are lucky enough to have Dr. Hilary Blumberg, professor of psychiatry at the Yale School of Medicine, with us live to talk about a week from Saturday, Sherwood Island Park in beautiful Westport, the Out of the Darkness Community Walk. It's all about suicide prevention. And Doctor, before the break, we were talking a little bit about brain health, and we talked about sleep. And you also mentioned daily routines being a part of good mental health. You know, my late mom used to say, kids love routines. They love rituals. And I found that to be true with my three. But how does that actually help with brain health?
Yeah. So grandmother often right.
And, they are.
So when you get things kind of more regular, so we're talking about sleep, but often people think about, you know, just trying to go to sleep at the same time and waking up at the same time. That alone is, at first, it's really hard to do in isolation. But what we find is that if you try to get other things also more regular, let me give you an example. If dinner starts to be at a more regular time, that's going to give signals to the brain that sleep is a certain number of hours later. And sleep and physical activity and meals, these are all things that change neurotransmitters and hormones and all types of things that can affect the brain. And the brain and the body kind of like things to be in a nice kind of equilibrium and regularity. So it can really kind of help and stabilize the brain circuitry that relates to emotions. And one thing that we didn't talk about as much before, and maybe to highlight it kind of even goes along with the walk, is that a really important part of daily rhythms is social contact.
Right.
So, like, addressing loneliness and social isolation is one of the most important ways to improve mental health. And carving out some time each day, maybe as best you can at a somewhat regular time of day to have some social contact, maybe get that regular around meals or a call or something. That can be really powerful. That talking, that can be really powerful in improving emotional health and brain health and reducing suicide.
Right. Make those social interactions a part of the routine, something that sadly we got out of practice doing during the pandemic, right? Because, Dr., correct me if I'm wrong, was that, or I'm asking, was that when we started to see suicide rates among the young increase during the pandemic, after the pandemic, when there was such a sense of isolation and frustration with it?
Yeah, the some good news was that just before the pandemic, there were some reductions in suicide rates. So we were kind of making some inroads. But then with the pandemic, rates did seem to unfortunately increase. And I think you're really pointing out the important thing, Bridget, is that, you know, that some of the things that happened during the pandemic are things that we know can increase risk for suicide. Stress is one of them, and like you said, the social isolation that can occur. So those are, you know, really important to address. And kind of interestingly, for the people who had some of the highest increases in their rates, it tended to be women ages 25 through maybe their 60s, and you kind of have to wonder about them having also stresses related to taking care of both kids and older adults and many people in the home and that kind of isolation.
Yeah, because during the pandemic, certainly we heard a lot about women being the ones to give up the work position, to give up the social interaction in the office and to stay at home and try to hold down the fort somehow and monitor the kids when they were doing their schoolwork remotely. And yet, doctor, you know, we're having this conversation about it, not just because of the upcoming walk on the 26th, but also because there have just been so many articles, including this just this week in the Connecticut Insider, youth suicides up in Connecticut, the CDC taking a look at rates since 2022. You know, in reading up on this, and this might be a topic for a whole other conversation with you, doctor, but I thought this was interesting that most of the people who attempt suicide do not die of suicide.
Yes, that's right. So you raised some really important things. Suicide is one of the leading causes of death in youths and teens and in young adults, the second or third leading cause of death. And we don't want to forget that some of the highest rates of death by suicide are actually in older adults. So we have to be really careful about particularly the isolation of older adults. But yes, that many people may attempt suicide, or there can be many attempts, and that they may not go on to die by suicide. And that's really important, because that says to us that there are ways to prevent suicide, that if someone who's had some suicide thoughts or some suicide behaviors, and those come to light maybe through talking with loved ones or friends or in seeking clinical care, that there are ways to prevent them dying by suicide.
Yeah. And again, that might, you know, just have opened up a whole other conversation between us, which I hope we will get to have. Before we go, just back to what we said at the beginning of the conversation and why it's so important to come out for this walk, Sherwood Island, a week from tomorrow, the Out of the Darkness Community Walk, just to be with other people. And doctor, should I assume that there will be people there who have lost loved ones to suicide?
Yes. So many of the people there who will be walking might be people who've lost people to suicide. And also, it's really very remarkable. It's really something, and I encourage people to come because they may be surrounded by people who want to walk with them and want to support them, you know, and bring them comfort and learn about suicide and suicide prevention. to help to prevent future suicide. There's a lot that can be learned, a lot of support that can be given, and it's just a remarkable thing, really, to see and to be a part of.
Right. And doctor, I guess we're having this conversation, and anytime anybody does a story about suicide and suicide prevention, it is, of course, so important to mention that help is also available, not just getting out in the community and meeting with people and not being isolated and having a walk. But there is an easy way if you're having trouble, 988, the suicide hotline prevention number. And doctor, what a pleasure to chat with you. I really cannot thank you enough. And I hope you come back on the show anytime we have this important issue in the news. You are the woman. You're the go-to woman. You know all about this. Cannot thank you enough.
You're the go-to woman to talk with. And yeah, this was really, really appreciate this. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Hillary Blumberg, professor of psychiatry at Yale School of Medicine. The Capitol Fools are coming to Connecticut. This is a political sketch comedy troupe. And before I get to Jack Rawls, who's hanging on the phone line for us, want to play you a little clip from a recent show on New Year, I believe, New Year's.
Good evening and welcome to this performance of the Capitol Fools. Please take a moment to note the emergency exits located throughout the room. In the event of an emergency, please remain seated and wait for Congress to come to an agreement on an evacuation plan. And now we're going to hear from the Capitol Fools. They recently performed for over 100,000 people at Wembley Stadium. They received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And they have a major motion picture coming out in summer 24. It's worth noting that this intro was written by former New York Congressman George Santos.
Producer Jack Rawls is with us, the Capitol Fools. I love that. I was listening to that saying, wow, really? Wembley? Oh, wow. These guys, what a troupe. Hey, thank you so much for being here, Jack.
Oh, thank you for having me. And thank you for playing that. I love it every time I hear
it.
Oh,
it's hilarious. You guys must have had such a field day with Santos.
We had a great time, and you know he's recently been in the news as well as far as charges and all that sort of stuff. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, right there.
All right. So for folks who are not acquainted with the Capitol Fools, I should mention, by the way, the reason we're speaking today, you guys are going to be at UConn's Jorgensen Center for Performing Arts tonight, and then at the Klein
tomorrow
night.
Yep.
Okay.
The 19th. Right.
Okay, the 19th. I am really like dates challenged today. I don't know why. Okay, so
there's a lot going on these days.
There is a lot going on. Thank you. All right, so UConn tomorrow night, the 19th, and then at the Klein in Bridgeport, November the 2nd, yes?
Yes.
Hooray. Okay. All right. We got it. All right. We got the dates. Yep. All right. So for people who don't know you guys, I mentioned political sketch comedy troupe. You used to be the Capitol Steps?
Yeah. Well, we were all members of the Capitol Steps, and our writer was the co-writer of the Capitol Steps. And then during the pandemic, the Capitol Steps shut down, and a group of us decided, you know, there's people out there that, as you could tell by the laughter from our NPR radio show that you played there, you know, people are still loving it and still need it. You know, it's sort of a civic duty that we have to follow the legacy of the Capitol Steps and create our own offshoot called the Capitol Fools. So
yeah,
that's what we've done. And it's been going great.
It is a civic duty. I mean, it can get, the political season can get so nasty, and you can get so caught up in the issues and the back and forth. And then you sit back and you listen to some good satire and you have a good laugh over it. It's really important.
Yeah.
So tell us how you guys, what kind of show you put on. Is it similar to SNL that you'll have like something like their cold open, like sketches or songs, or tell us a little bit about what to expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above. It's a lot of songs, you know, a lot of song parody. Take popular songs and change around, you know, what is Trump does. It's my party and I'll lie if I want to. You know, that's a fun one there. And we got, you know, and Biden has his brain mouth connection. I don't know, you're familiar with some Muppets tunes there. You know, so we have a bunch of those tunes. And then we have sketches as well. We do, of course, we have to do a debate moment. And I don't want to give away too much, but instead of a instead of an actual debate, we want to lighten the mood a little bit. And so we do a joke-telling contest between the former president and the vice president. I'll give you just, you know, why did the chicken cross the road? It tends to be one of our favorites in that bit. And there's some great answers, actually, that come right out of Ohio, if you could imagine.
I see where are you heading to Springfield with that one?
Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could, ding, 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 ding. Very nice. So we just have, talk about the gifts that keep on giving. You know, here I'm sitting here now preparing for our show tomorrow night at UConn, and I'm thinking about is, you know, how are we going to get a dance party in the middle of our show? That's my main focus. That's a big day.
That you actually do?
Well, the dance party is in,
I know. Heaven forbid there's a medical emergency in the audience. I got you now. And then you'll play YMCA and the other Trump playlist song. I get it.
It just keeps coming.
Yeah. Jack, do you play a particular political figure in the show, or do you all take turns playing different people?
Yeah, we all bounce around, do a variety of stuff, sharing in some of the roles and stuff like that. I tend toward, hey, it's your old pal Joe Biden here. How you doing? Good to see you, folks. Hey, thanks for coming to the show tomorrow night. Gonna appreciate it. Yeah, I might even come up there in Connecticut, go door to door and ask people one simple question. Do I live here?
No.
What? Hello?
Oh, dear.
Are you there?
Oh my gosh, that sounds like it's worth the price of admission. Did you guys have to kind of revamp the show, or have to react quickly when Biden did drop out of the race and turn things over to Kamala Harris? Was it a scramble?
Yeah, it was a scramble. It was a scramble. Fortunately, we had a couple of days before our next show at that moment. But we raised. Probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% of the show had to be thrown out and completely recreated. We had songs in there before, like I Want a Brand New Pair of Candidates, which, you know, obviously we got, at least part of that. And so,
New Pair of Candidates. What was that, from the Melanie song, maybe? No.
I Want a Brand New
Pair. Yes, okay. Ding, 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 ding. For me again. I got okay. I named that tune. Hey, are you guys, would you say you're equal opportunity offenders?
Absolutely. That's exactly, well put. We are exactly that. And that's what I believe is most important about us, is especially as far as our civic duty goes, is that we are mocking both sides of the aisle equally. And that's what we strive for. We do our best to achieve that. So that anybody can come see the show and have a great time. That's our hope, and that's what we strive for.
Yeah, and anybody come into the show, but you get a lot of students, right, from like poli sci classes and whatnot?
We do, the universities. We play a lot of the universities, and they seem to appreciate it as well, if not more. And we try to, and with the poli sci students and that sort of stuff, we kind of try to focus too on our real mantra, our theme, uniting the country one laugh at a time. That's one way
very
to
nice.
Approach the evening.
Yeah, if only we could unite, right?
Right,
Jack,
exactly.
Before we go, so I'm speaking with you on a Friday afternoon, and I'm wondering, is it like that that tension-filled room, the writer's room over at SNL, where you guys are working down to the wire, waiting to see what happens at a rally tonight, what happens on Saturday morning, and changing the scripts? I'm making myself nervous thinking about this. Before you go on the stage at UConn tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of that, but it's mostly just laughing nonstop whenever we're, coming together, whether it be virtually or whatever, in the same room. But the main thing we try to focus on as a group and remind each other of is, like when something happens in the news, it's you don't think, is it good for the country, but is it funny and what rhymes with it?
that's your job.
And then we chug down a couple more cups of coffee and get back at it.
Coffee, that's good. That's good. Hey, listen, so much fun chatting with you. It sounds like an absolutely great show. The Capital Fools, Jack Rawls, and you can check them out tomorrow night, the 19th at UConn, and then at the Klein Memorial in Bridgeport on the 2nd of November. Wow, just a few days before the election. Great way to spend those last days of the election, having a good old laugh about the campaign season. Jack, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day. Really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great show tomorrow night. And we are here on Newsline with Ed Katz of KatzReviews.com talking about the movies and more, a lot more this time, in fact. And Ed, always great to have you here. I mentioned KatzReviews.com. And what else should I be telling our listeners about you and where to learn more about you?
Oh, thank you. Hi, Bridget.
Yes, hey.
I've had Catnip Marketing, catnipmarketing.com with a K, for 16 years, and we've won many awards doing a lot of public relations, social media, and advertising and marketing work.
Okay, but we are talking about movie reviews, and as I always say, Ed,
absolutely,
this is just my favorite thing in the world to talk about, second only to my love of Saturday Night Live. Now, I haven't gotten to see this yet. It is on top of my list. Got to get to the movies. I would preferably see it in the movie theater, but the movie is called Saturday Night, and basically it's about the debut of this now 50-year-old show, right?
Right. Incredible. Incredible. And it's actually the 90 minutes leading up to the actual debut of the first NBC broadcast of Saturday Night, which they later called Saturday Night Live.
Right. And when I look for movies, I always look at the time, and it seems like so many movies nowadays are 2 hours and 20 minutes, 3 hours and such and such. And I was delighted to see a tight hour 49. I guess they do a little bit on the front and back of that 90 minute show. OK, take us back, Ed, if you would, to October 11th, 1975. And it was a kind of a frenetic mood over there at NBC Saturday Night, as you say, as it was then called.
That's a complete understatement. If all of this is accurate, and I haven't seen that it's all accurate, but if it is, it was sheer chaos and insanity leading up to this. But it's a different approach to making a comedy, because it essentially goes in real time, pretty much real time. So it's a comedic dramatization of the 90 minutes leading up to the first broadcast. It's co-written and directed by Jason Reitman. It's based on the true behind-the-scenes story of what actually happened, as Lorne Michaels, who's played by Gabriel LaBelle, is trying to herd cats. Well, the cast of disparate comics Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Gilda Radner, Garrett Morris, Jane Curtin, Billy Crystal, and Lorraine Newman, and trying to get set pieces finished with the union workers protesting, getting a llama through security in the building at NX 30 Rock, find John Belushi, who of course has gone AWOL because he didn't want to put on the bumblebee costume, and replace the lighting director who walked out with under an hour to airtime, and dealing with a call from a not very happy Johnny Carson and a menacing network head played by Willem Dafoe, and question after question from the network censor and the show's co-creator, the NBC executive Dick Ebersol, played very well by Cooper Hoffman, who was terrific in Licorice Pizza.
Oh, wow.
The movie, it's as chaotic, it's as funny as all that sounds.
Come on.
The first 10 minutes
come on,
alone,
Belushi, put on that bee suit. We love that killer bee skit, yeah.
He eventually did. But the first 10 minutes alone had enough laughs for most films throughout their whole length.
Yeah, it sounds with this frenetic pace, as I say, like it probably makes the show The Bear seem like a relaxing day at the beach. I love movies and shows like that, though, that take you behind the scenes and let you know, really make you feel, in a sense, what they were feeling when they were putting on this show. And, you know, the thing about it is I'm old enough to remember, you know, when I was a kid, early teenager, whatever, watching the show for the first time. I remember my cousin used to sleep over, and I don't know, somehow we wound up sneaking downstairs when we weren't supposed to be awake anymore and turning on the TV and stumbled upon Saturday Night. And, you know, I don't know what it was like for you, Ed, but it was just, it was literally like nothing we had ever seen before. And it was hilarious. And we would talk about what we'd seen all week, you know, just as we do 50 years later, when a skit hits and it, you know, nowadays goes viral, people are still talking about it.
Right, right. And I do remember that. And I remember, you know, my friends buzzing about it. And the only other thing I could think that was even close to it was Monty Python's Flying Circus, which was a totally British sensibility. But with the sketch comedy, it was that was the only kind of place I was really familiar with it at that point until Saturday Night Live came on in America.
Yeah, you mentioned that amazing cast. And I guess, you know, we've all had our favorite casts over the 50 years. But I don't know. I sound old here, but I think they were the best. I mean, maybe that's silly to say, but you mentioned.
No, it really does seem that. And you got to give credit to Dick Ebersol and Lorne Michaels, because they herded them together and and had a basically play psychiatrist along the way with almost all of them, especially Belushi, to get them where they could actually function and do their show their talents live.
Yeah, yeah.
Each week.
And among that group, Jane and Lorraine and Chevy and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Garrett Morris. Wow. Are there any standout performances to your mind? Any of the actors who just really nailed playing that other actor?
Yes. And I just lost my notes on it because of a long story, but I had a computer issue. But the actor who plays Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, I know who that is. Dylan O'Brien.
He was good. He was good. The best was the Chevy Chase.
Okay.
He nailed it.
Okay.
Do you have that? Because I'm sorry, I had it and I just
That's okay. But interestingly, Chevy, you know, we always think of Chevy Chase as SNL, and I guess he was only there for a season because Lorne Michaels, as you say, was not only able to assemble this dynamite cast, but he really was a star maker. So many of them just became huge stars in their own right. And in the case of Chevy Chase, after a mere season there, this was interesting too. George Carlin, played by Matthew Rhys from The Americans, and I would see
great
the movie
cameo
just for him. So
yeah. Corey Michael Smith plays Chevy Chase. That's
okay.
Who it was. Corey Michael Smith.
All right.
Just terrific. And it could be a star making performance for him because he's the breakout from the whole cast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I was enjoying was his. And also Lamorne Morris plays Garrett Morris. He's no relation to Garrett Morris, but he just has the same last name. He was terrific as well in a smaller role, but a very important role. And he's questioning why he's there. And it's a kind of a comic running theme. There's also great cameos from J.K. Simmons as Milton Berle.
Oh.
And if you saw Succession, Nicholas Braun, who is so great in Succession, he plays both Jim Henson and Andy Kaufman.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And, you know, you make the point about Andy Kaufman singing the Mighty Mouse theme, or what was it, right? And the Muppets.
He was mouthing it. He wasn't even singing.
Yeah, lip syncing to it. It was just the craziest thing to watch. It's like, why are we watching this guy do this? But what was what's really interesting to me is, and I guess it's a little bit ironic, because you have this movie, right, that does this, not to overuse the word, but this frenetic TikTok, right, of that debut show. And yet, if you watch the old shows, and I do happen to have the collection, you notice that it's a slower pace, right? When you watch the actual show, you had the Muppets, you had Andy Kaufman, it was just so unusual, and I think very, very different from the show as it is today, 50 years later.
Yes, the differences are kind of astounding. Except there is still the Weekend Update,
right, with Chevy.
And the guest host and the guest music artist, which they had Billy Preston, which I didn't remember, but that one I didn't remember, but that was fascinating too.
Right.
And it's an enjoyable ride. It's crazy ride, and it builds the suspense because you don't know if network executive Willem Dafoe is going to give them the green light up until the last minute, when he's ready to hit the tape for the rerun of the Johnny Carson show.
Okay.
He wasn't sure they had it all together. And it's throughout the whole movie, he keeps questioning Gabriel LaBelle's Lorne Michaels to say, "You've got it together. I'm confident." Mm-hmm. Right, kid? You know, that kind of thing.
Again, because it really was a revolution. We're going to take a quick break, Ed, and we have a lot more to talk about, including a new Netflix hit. More coming right up on Newsline. We are back with Ed Katz of KatzReviews.com here on Newsline. I'm Bridget Quinn. And Ed, just to wrap up our last segment about the movie Saturday Night, you give it 4 out of 5 stars. Wow, I really have to go see it.
Yes, it runs a little bit out of gas about 2/3 the way through, kind of goes over the rails, but it's still so much of a fun ride.
Okay. Let's talk about the small screen. Nobody Wants This. This is a new hit on Netflix, and I watched it. I kind of binged the whole first season. I guess they are coming back for a second. I had a heck of a time remembering the title. It was Nobody Wants That and This and Just Like That. Anyway, Nobody Wants This, starring Adam Brody and Kristen Bell, a really cute rom-com, yeah?
Yes. You know, it's something that my wife wanted to watch, and I was like, okay, I don't usually think rom-coms work very well, but this was fun to watch. It's about a rabbi and a podcaster who, along with her sister, have a podcast focusing on sex and talking about sex. And it's been hugely popular on Netflix, and it's definitely engaging, and it draws you in. But you won't have to look too closely to find some of the flaws, but the characters are enjoyable, and I really did think it was a lot of fun. I give this one 3.5 stars out of 5, and as you just mentioned, it is renewed for a season 2.
Yeah, and you know, with rom-coms, I guess it's always said in Hollywood circles, at least the quotes that I've read, you want something formulaic but fresh, right? And this seems to fit that.
Right.
You know, it's a typical opposites attract kind of thing. And yet they really make it fresh. And I think in large part because Adam Brody, who was Seth Cohen on The OC, the coiner of the phrase Chrismica, he's just so lovable, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a lot of charm, and Kristen Bell, the two of them have chemistry. They did work together once previously, but a while ago. But Kristen Bell was so amazing with Ted Danson in The Good Place, which is now all 4 seasons on Netflix, 53 episodes, and which, by the way, has the best final episode ever of any series. It's phenomenal. If you haven't seen The Good Place, highly recommended. 14 total Emmy nominations. That was a great show, but this is a lot of fun. The way the chemistry goes between the two of them and all the naysayers, including a terrific Tova Feldshuh,
yes,
as Adam Brody character's mother,
mm-hmm,
and the sister of Kristen Bell, you know, you can see the pressure coming in on them. It's a lot of fun. The way
I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Justin Lupe or Loop from Succession. And she's a great, also Timothy Simons from Veep. It's a wonderful cast, the rabbi and the agnostic podcaster falling in love. It reminds me a little bit, wow, I'm really going to date myself here, Bridget Loves Bernie. A sitcom from way back when, you know, I would remember that, you know, because I had the same name. So I would get a lot of teasing.
Right.
Anyway, a story for another time. Let's move on, Ed, to back to the movies. And I guess a lot of movie theaters will be showing this one right about now. The Rocky Horror Picture Show from what, 1975?
Yes, It was kind of remarkable. I got to see it. Hosted by original star Barry Bostwick, and it was essentially a party with about 2,000 people. He came out, made many self-deprecating jokes about his character, Brad, who the audience kept yelling a word I can't say on the radio about his character, which if you've seen the movie live with an audience, you know what it is. But the film is still fun, even 50 years later. The plot, the story really does run out of gas the last half hour. But Tim Curry, as Dr. Frankenfurter is a total hoot, and the songs really still surprisingly hold up very well. So that's I gave it 3.5 stars out of 5. And if you can see it in the theater, that is definitely the best, because of the live audience and everyone acting along and singing along with it. But it's on Hulu, Amazon Prime, Apple, and Disney. It's in a lot of places to see.
All right. Only have you for another minute, but tell us about Grounded, an opera performance being shown in Fairfield.
Yes, I'm not a huge opera fan, but I go about once a year because my wife likes them, and my mom and stepdad are very happy when I go. But for one night only, October 19th, the Quick Center for the Arts in Fairfield at Fairfield U and the CMX Movie Theater at the Connecticut Post Mall and other theaters around the country are showing the Metropolitan Opera's live performance of Grounded. It's a new work by famed Broadway composer Jeanine Tesori with the libretto by George Brandt. Now, I saw the original play in 2017 at the Westport Playhouse and gave it 4.5 stars out of 5. It really sounds exciting. It's about a woman combat pilot who, because of mental issues, gets grounded and goes to work piloting drones out of a bunker in Nevada. And the psychological impact of what she's doing.
Wow.
Fascinating wow. story.
That sounds great. Your family wants to get you a little culture, Ed, huh? Ed Katz, katzreviews.com. Always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks, Ed.